welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's game against Dunfermline, preview the Scottish Cup tie with Queen's Park, and we'll have more on the shock news about Jim McAnally's resignation last week. Yes, welcome along to the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers with you once again. With me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Feeling rather cold, wet.
It's frosty. It's cold.
It's starting to tar, but at least we've got the World Cup to keep us warm in a way.
Oh, controversial topic to start the episode with.
Nay that I've been excited about the World Cup, let's be honest.
No, it's been a strange one, is it? There's a World Cup going on, but with the backdrop of everything that's been happening around it, the World Cup, it's very subdued, I think, for a lot of people.
And in fact, it's in the winter time as well, just doesn't suit right at all.
No, that's the whole calendar ruined for, for 3 weeks of Qatar.
But I'm still going with I think it'll be a Brazil Argentina final. That's my prediction. I've gone with Brazil-Argentina final. The only way that's going to happen, though, is if Argentina comes second in their group. So they have to come second behind Uruguay, I think.
Uruguay, there's a few folk tipped Uruguay, though, to do well.
So we'll wait and see.
We'll review this in 3 weeks' time and see how close you are.
I also did predict that England and Wales were going to get out of their group, but after the day's result, you never know. It is one result. So we are kind of back to what I would say is a normal-ish kind of episode after last week's revelation that Jim had handed in his resignation and it was accepted by the club, reluctantly by the club. It was the last week. It was fairly new. It was fairly... we didn't really sort of cane anything to what was happening and why, what the reasons were for it. We sort of knew a little bit more now. A week since it's obviously happened, we've had a bit more detail. What's your kind of thoughts on the reasons why he's tendered his resignation?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we've all sort of come to the conclusion that a change was needed. And Jim's a very proud man. He's trying to deal with the best interests of the club at heart. You know, he said to the board and Roger that he felt he was not getting the best out of the team and that he felt it was right to move on. And like I said last week, credit to him for being brave enough to admit that, you know, things haven't been working out this season. And it's time for a fresh pair of eyes to come in and see what it can do with the team. It's disappointing the way that it's turned out. I think for Jim, a personal point of view, he would have loved to have left in a much stronger position than we are now. But I also think he's done it at the right time, that he gives a new manager time to come in, assess his squad, a very large squad at that, see what we need to get rid of, see what he wants to bring in when the new manager does come in, and, you know, try and give ourselves a platform to, you know, try and remain in the division, as difficult as that will be.
Yeah, it's kind of what you said there. It's running about what the chairman had said in his quotes after. A couple of them here. He says he felt that Jim was, Jim had said that he'd felt he was letting the chairman and he was letting the club down. He's a principled guy, and he felt that it was the time he went. Although he tried to get him to stay, and it was interesting as well that the chairman had offered him a director of role type position as well. But Jim had felt as though that wasn't for him. That. I don't know if that's a kind of role that would work for a League One side, but, you know, his expertise, his knowledge obviously would have been good for whoever came in, you know, as the new manager.
Yeah, I think it would have been difficult for Jim, most of all. I think if someone was to come in and Jim's trying to give the advice, it's almost like he's still... running things isn't maybe the right term, but, you know, you need a fresh start, a new break for him as well. So I thought it was interesting that Roger, even after the game last Saturday, so away to Airdrie, that he was still trying to convince Jim to stay. So I think that's telling that if you read between the lines that Roger wasn't of the mindset of, even though things weren't working out, that he'd be looking to change the manager. I think that was quite a telling sentence. But yeah, I think a new fresh pair of eyes coming in is probably what we need at this moment in time.
Yeah, it was interesting that it was after the Montrose game that he made the decision to leave. So, or whether or not he'd actually decided that that's it and handed in his notice it, or has any his resignation that week, or he'd maybe made the decision with himself, so right, I think that's it, and then maybe obviously give himself a week to see. But it was on the back of what was a pretty decent performance, decent result away for him. Airdrie that then came out, which was a bit more of a surprise. Had it been maybe after directly after the Montrose game, you might have said, well, you could maybe understand it, but after such a decent performance and a decent result, it's a bit more kind of surprising.
Possibly. I'd flip it on its head and say it's a decent point away from home in what has been a very disappointing campaign. You know, them sort of results have been few and far between. Like you said, that decision was made after Montrose game. It's maybe one of them who wanted to get the players together one last time, you know, training, nay, everybody can make it with other commitments and the logistical side. He maybe just wanted that one last game to say, look, this is me. The story is that he told the players before the game. Was that a kick up the backside for some of them to think, well, Jim's now going to be going, somebody else is going to be coming in, and then we did get that decent performance against Airdrie. Also, we'll come on to the Dunfermline game, but you know their contrasting performances. But yeah, I think Jim, very proud man. I think his time, and you know, he said he's felt he was letting the club down, he was letting the board down. I think it's a case of letting people down. It's just unfortunate things that I worked out this season.
And it was obviously Davey next. It was taking charge of the game Saturday. And it was again a couple of interesting quotes coming for him as well. Some people had maybe suggested that Davey should be in for a shout for the job, you know, taking over directly for Jim. But going by what he seems to be saying, he'll be walking away once the new manager's in place. He obviously just wanted to help out, just try and have a bit of continuity between Jim leaving and then obviously the new manager coming in. And one of the quotes for him just before the game on Saturday was, it might be my last game here, and if it is, I'm determined to do my best for the club, as I always do. It's an end of an era for me personally. I'm just trying to do what is right by Jim. I will help them out until they get a new manager, which definitely sounds as though once a new manager is in place, Davey will be leaving as well.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you on the recording last week that we maybe overlooked somebody in terms of maybe Davy Nicholas wanting it himself. And obviously, the way things have transpired this week, we came that Davy doesn't want the job. And I think he will move on. It sounds very much like that when a new manager comes in, Davy will be taking a back seat. But again, although it was Jim's decision to resign, obviously Davy and Jim sort of come as a team and they've done everything together. But I think it's also good of Davey to stay on, trying, you know, that continuity. We are in a very difficult position. I think it would have been easy for Davey as well just to turn around and say, well, I'm walking away as well. Yeah. He has no credit to him. He's stuck around. He's tried to help the boys out. Okay, the performance was not brilliant on Saturday, but I think there were certain signs of maybe things slowly starting to change on the back of Airdrie on this one against a full-time team nevertheless. But yeah, I think Dave will certainly be moving on as well.
And the chairman had said last week that the applications have been coming in thick and fast, and he wants to get someone in as sooner rather than later, and will be conducting interviews this week, beginning of this week. So obviously, round about sort of now, beginning of this week. So it could be a case that, you know, by the time we speak again next week, we could have a new manager in place.
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a new manager in the dugout come Saturday. I think it's one of them games that there'll be, I wouldn't say no pressure, but there's less pressure with it being a cup tie. I think if it had been a league game, maybe slightly different, but I would be surprised if there wasn't a new manager in the dugout come Saturday. I think Roger will want to get this done. pretty quick. December's got important fixtures coming up, and we can't afford to lose any more ground than what we already have. I still think it's going to be a massive job for anybody who does come in. I personally think the gap is too big already, but you can't afford to lose more ground, which is why I think a manager will be pretty sharpish.
It could be a case as well, because it is a cup tie, that the new manager might be named but won't officially take over until after the game, just in terms of, well, it's a cup game. We'll let David have that one last game, which we would then know it would be his last game, and then the new manager can then just sort of watch in the stands and get a feel of the players that he will be potentially taking over.
Yeah, it is one of them things that you might, if the new manager hasn't had any training sessions with the players, if it's announced pretty late on, he might decide he would take this one in the stands. May speak to the team before the game, but I generally think there'll be a new man in place. Maybe not officially through the club social media, but I think there'll be certainly something in place come the weekend.
And obviously that then brings us to kind of who will that new man be. Obviously we mentioned a few names last week. There was at least one in the ground on Saturday, which we definitely know because we've seen the pictures of it on the P&J's post. David Robertson was there. He was a name it was mentioned pretty quickly by a lot of folk. And it's weird because some folk are obviously quite pro David Robertson coming in. Obviously there's a few who's saying, it'd be one of those kind of things. It doesn't matter who comes in, people will be for and against. But it was interesting that he was obviously quite obvious that he was there. And he was obviously taking a keen interest.
Yeah, well, I've never seen Davey there before, so it's maybe just a huge coincidence that he's turned up on Saturday, maybe at a loose end. In this day and age, you didn't go to a game, potential manager, without having some word that you're in with a shout of it. I'd be very surprised if that conversation hasn't happened between Roger and Davey already. Like I said, I think once you go to the game, you know that people are looking at you, you sort of put yourself in the shop window, and also the press will report it. So I think things can move pretty quick. Whether it is Davey, whether he generally, is taken in the game, but with a view to it, there's maybe, other candidates in the background. You said there's quite a few folk applied for it that were being told. So, hopefully we've got the quality of manager to come in and help us through.
I don't think it'd be difficult to kind of gauge what kind of quality of applicant we're going to get. We're definitely not going to get, like a Jose Mourinho or even a Van Bronckhorst, because he's obviously available now as
he's
well.
He's now looking for a job as well.
I don't think these kind of guys, that's the kind of caliber of guys that we're even contemplating. So, we might just have to be a bit more nitpicky, but the argument against David Robertson is he's been out of Scotland for a wee while. It didn't work out for him when he was a manager previously at Elgin and at Montrose, but that was a few years ago. So maybe things have just changed for him slightly. Maybe he's learned a bit from those experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against somebody coming in that hasn't been in Scotland for a while. I think new pair of eyes, a fresh outlook on things, it can be a good thing. You could, arguments say you could bring in, and I'm Danny Lennon, for example. When I get the job, shouldn't be in for a run anyway. But you could take somebody like Danny Lennon then who knows the league, but then his form with Clyde was just equally as bad. So I don't see if you gain from that. Yeah, to me, somebody who hasn't been in the game for a while, wouldn't it be a bad thing for me coming in?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting few days coming up, because the general consensus is, and certainly what the chairman has said, it will be done sooner rather than later. And as I said, it might be this week, might be beginning of next week. We'll have to wait and see. But it's big shoes, whoever it is that's coming in, we'll have to fill, though.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a while of people saying, comment on teams and selections of what Jim would have done here, what Jim would have done there. But, when a new man comes in, he's got to get the backing and, try and propel us up the league table.
Yep. Well, so as I said, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that one then. So, first game without Jim in the dugout was on Saturday. Davey was in there instead. Dunfermline were the opponents. League leaders, 2-0. It finished. It's struggling to kind of get too much out of this game because it really was it wasn't the greatest of games. I think obviously the conditions played a huge part in that, but I also think as well the fact that Dunfermline had gone 2-0 up so early on with inside 20 minutes, I think that pretty much kind of killed the game as well as a contest.
Yeah, you summed up pretty well in the second half when nothing really was happening. Dunfermline were 2-0 up, and you said it's a good score for both teams. Dunfermline get the points, 2-0 win away from home in tricky weather conditions. And we didn't get battered. You know, that's the way you've got to look at it. The way we're form is we didn't get a battering. Probably, both managers weirdly would have been happy with the way the game went. You know, it probably went according to plan for both of them in terms of we didn't get, you know, an absolute battering. But on the flip side, I felt we could have done a lot better. We allowed them Dunfermline too much of the ball. We were a wee bit passive. But again, it's difficult for the players. You know, they're sort of in limbo as well. Do you want to make that risky challenge and you're out for 4 or 5 weeks and a new manager comes in and you kind of make that first impression? You know, you've got these are things that will go through a player's head as well. So it's difficult.
And we said last week when we were previewing the game, if Davey was going to be taking over, whether or not he would make any changes or if it would be the same kind of setup. And it was the exact same starting 11 as it was the previous week. And it was the exact same setup as well, which nobody really would have been too surprised about.
No, I didn't expect there to be much changes. We've got to remember Davey's worked with Jim for so long now that, you know, they know exactly what each other's thinking. Didn't expect much change. And to be fair, for a home game against Dunfermline, it's one of them, you didn't want to rock the boat too much, change too many things, and then you do run the risk of conceding 5 and 6. And, you know, what is a team that is struggling with confidence? A result like that could have just been, you know, the final nail in the coffin with a new manager coming in as well. So, yeah, I think 2-0, probably a scoreline that both teams would have been happy with.
I did say during the game, certainly the first 10 minutes, it felt as though the atmosphere was slightly different. It just felt as though the fans around about us seemed to be a bit more kind of up for it. You know, there was a bit more vocal shouts and encouragement and things like that, particularly the first 10 minutes. And then once that goal goes in, that's it. It just suddenly it was like a light switch being switched off again. It was the atmosphere was different within that 10 minutes. It was just a pity that couldn't have carried on for a wee bit longer, and that might have just affected the game either way.
Yeah, if you'd gone 20-25 minutes to it being 0-0, as you said, there was a slightly different atmosphere on Saturday. I wouldn't use the word toxic. I think that's too strong, but there was definitely, you know, a lot of growing unrest. As the weeks went by, it became more and more, and people became more vocal. But that seemed to be lifted on Saturday. And yeah, frustrating that we didn't do better. Obviously said first goal within 10 minutes, so it just sort of set the tone for the game that we're going to be an uphill task from there.
And even though there was a strong wind, obviously it was going the usual direction. So obviously if you've got the wind behind you, you would think that you would try and use that to your advantage. However, you look at the stats, there was only 7 shots on goal in the entire game, and that was for both sides. Peterhead had 3, 2-1 target. Dunfermline had 4 shots and 2-1 target. So neither, I don't think, really sort of cope well with the wind, and I don't think that might be a case that especially second half when Dunfermline had the wind behind them, because they had that 2-0 lead, they didn't really feel the need to be peppering the goal with too many efforts for distance.
No, the wind caused, you know, both sets of players at tricky conditions. But it shouldn't be nothing that we're not used to. You know, we've obviously it's a lot of different players now, but there's players on that team that have played in this sort of weather before, so it's probably disappointing that we didn't make the most of it. But as you said, in the second half, Dunfermline, you'd have maybe expected them to take a few more shots, but at the same time, they're 2-0 up. They're keeping the ball, they're knocking it around well, and they never looked like they were going to be in any danger at all, which is, again, frustrating.
I think that's probably why they're doing so well at the minute. I mean, they're nae sort of blowing away teams at the minute. They're nae winning sort of 5-0 or 4-0, 6-0, whatever, at the minute, but they're doing just enough to get the points. And I think that was the case on Saturday. They came up, tricky conditions, right, we get the lead, that's it, we'll just kind of, keep ahead of the bar.
Yeah, but I think you mentioned it to me on Saturday that also Dunfermline's been burnt already by us. You know, they went 2-0 up and we pegged them back down at East End Park. So, you know, there's that maybe element as well. McPake's maybe telling them at half-time, right, you're maybe 2-0 up, you've maybe got the wind with you. But, you know, bearing in mind you've conceded lost points to Peterhead already this season. So that'll play out a factor as well. But it was one of them games, you know, midway through the second half, nothing happened. Everything was in the midfield. It was poor touches, losing control. Nothing really happened, and like I said, both managers, I think, weirdly would have been happy with the way the game went.
Both playing fairly similar formations, both five at the back or three at the back, whatever you want to call it. So it did kind of get a bit kind of congested a little bit, but again, disappointing in it from a Peterhead perspective. We didn't really threaten their goal too much going forward again.
No, we really didn't. It's that's probably the annoying thing about it is we're the home team. The atmosphere was slightly different and we kind of really done nothing in the game. I felt we were too passive and we just allowed Dunfermline a lot of the ball. Obviously, they are a full-time team. We've got to bear in mind that. But I just felt the weather could have been a bit of a leveller for us. But once they got the lead, they never looked back, really.
Ryan Dowd hit a shot first half. It was well saved by their keeper. I think Jordan Brown had won. I think it was blocked second half. So apart from that, really, there was not much for their goalkeeper to do. And what was disappointing was that he was kind of struggling with a little bit with the wind, especially first half, and it was he was playing against the wind. And I said during the game that, you know, he was more willing to sort of stand on his six-yard box. He wasn't willing to come out and collect crosses. He wasn't wanting to come out and get anything just in case. So that was disappointing that we didn't try and take advantage of that.
No, the keeper really, he didn't like the first half conditions. He struggled with it. Like you said, his starting position was difficult as well. The first half, going up against the wind, you know, when they had a goal kick, and the keeper struggling, we sort of had one player, sometimes two, on the edge of their box. But in the second half, when Dunfermline were playing in the wind, with the wind, they had three or four players. So they were forcing us to knock it long. And I think that's what we should have been doing in the first half, putting our keeper under pressure. You know, and if you get a goal, things can change. But when I don't think we really gave ourselves a platform, to be honest.
Okay, the couple of bigger lads up front compared to what we had. But I think you're right. I think if we'd gotten a higher line, especially that first half, it could have squeezed them up a little bit and just put the pressure on them.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything would have come over, but you've got to give yourself a chance. Like I said, when you play with the wind, you should have a good 45 minutes because you've got the wind with you. And I really didn't feel we did. Like I said, we're too passive. So, I wouldn't say we gave them too much respect, but we maybe just admired that they were doing too much rather than, you know, trying to get in about them. We came at the referee previously. He did like to give a few yellow cards, whether that plays an impact as well. You know, players will get to know referees and understand the way they officiate the games. That could have played a part as well. But I just felt we didn't give ourselves a good enough platform to start on.
The first goal, as I said, came in the 10 minutes. Massive, massive deflection. But obviously, we'll say, our folk will say, well, because that's the luck that we're going with. But before that, it's for a free kick virtually on the touchline. We've kind of been falling asleep a little bit. Nobody's sort of been quick to react. And then Todd's had managed to get a shot for range.
Yeah, we're sleeping at the free kick. I think everybody's expected it to come in the box. Dunfermline have been smart about it. They've knocked it inside. It does take a massive deflection. And I said to you on Saturday, I thought the keeper could have done better. I've watched it back three or four times. To be honest, I still don't have really changed my opinion. I think it just hangs in the air a couple of seconds. it's almost like he's just watched it go over him. Now, McKinney's not the tallest lad, but I just felt he could have maybe done him a disservice. Obviously, with the wind, the direction the ball can change. We're only seeing it from a side angle. But, I was a bit frustrated on Saturday. I said to you, I felt he could have done better, and I still stand by that. I just think he could have... His reaction seems a wee bit slow for considering how long the ball hangs in the air. And it's a couple of seconds. I just felt he could maybe have done a wee bit better.
He just didn't seem to get his feet sort of sorted out. And
yes.
By the time he tries to get himself set, it's the ball sort of looped over his head. And that kind of comes to maybe slow to react.
Yeah, he's been able to see the ball, but as you said, he kind of get his feet sort of sorted. There is the wind to factor in as well. It's maybe caught him off guard, but you know, it's like a massive deflection. But when I've been set up properly at the free kick, we've sort of watched it, expecting it to come in the box. They've taken a quick one, and you know, they've got their reward for it.
Yeah, and as I said, after that, it just felt as though that, particularly after they get the second, you're almost fearing that's. It's going to be one-way traffic again. Once, especially in the second half, when we're up against the wind and they've got the wind behind them.
Yeah, you're scared that the floodgates are going to open. Like I said earlier on, I think being 2-0, I think Davey's probably pretty happy with it, because if it goes 5-6, you know, that's a proper bat, and your confidence, which is probably pretty low as it is, being bottom of the table, it could have taken a serious deflation.
As much as obviously that there was a bit of luck involved with the first one, second one, we just have to kind of say, well, it's a great goal, lovely little touch to get by Danny Strachan, and then the finish is a tidy one.
Yeah, it's a good bit of skill. He sees a defender coming across, just a little nick, kids what he's doing, he's ruining the defender, and yeah. As much as I may be disappointed with Tom in the first goal, I don't think he can really do anything about the second goal. It's one of them, you just step back and say, it's a lovely strike.
Pretty much the game was over as a contest, as I said. I mean, it was a bitterly cold day. I mean, even though the big jacket was out for the first time this year, there wasn't much for us to get too excited about.
No, but also very difficult playing a full-time team with Dunfermline. As you said, they're difficult to break down. They all kind their jobs, and they're a well-drilled team. I don't think it's any coincidence that you know they're solid in defence with a defender as their manager, and James McPake. He's got them well-drilled. So it's probably one of them games, if you're a new manager coming in, you're pleased that one's bye because you don't have to do it. But obviously, it's going to be the games coming up in the next couple of weeks for the new manager. You know, your eyesight's on the Clyde game coming up in a few weeks as well.
There's been a few mentions about the substitutions. We've mentioned a few times. There's a few guys that have mentioned it as well. Strange kind of a couple of the changes, particularly moving Hugh up front. Later on in the second half, taking Jack Brown off, who it just seems to be a thankless task for him at the minute, playing up front in that role. And I just wonder, especially that midfield three that we've got as well, we're playing McCarthy, Carey, and Hewitt, is a three really good players. But I just wonder if they're too similar in terms of. Neither of those three, I don't think, are going to get forward too often.
No, I'd agree. I think they're too similar. I think Hewitt maybe gives you slightly more going forward, but I don't think he's a natural player that will get forward. I think he's just got he's one of them. He's got to be in that area rather than he's bombing forward to get into, you know, and going on beyond the striker. I really think you'll get to play R3 and be an attacking team. I think you need somebody different in there that's got the mindset of going forward.
I think McCarthy's got the ability to be your box-to-box one, but because he's obviously still coming back for his lengthy injuries, maybe he's a bit reluctant to get forward. He did have a shot last week, fair range, which hit the side netting, but I still think he's the guy that you want to be sort of breaking up the play. He's a bit more aggressive and will sort of break up the opposition's play and then just maybe then give the ball to an attack-minded player, a creative player.
Yeah, for me, Andy's best position is in that holding role midfield. I think if you're going to try and change his midfield role, I think you're going to lose part of that player. We've got numerous players that can play in midfield now, so it's maybe time to, if that three's going to get a work, a new manager might come in and try and break it up and try something different. But I certainly think Kane Andy in that Simon Ferry-esque role, breaking things up, breaking the lines, playing the short passes and allowing other players to go and flourish in the game, I think would be the better option.
Yeah, and going back to what we were saying about they getting a lot of shots away. I mean, if you're Dunfermline, particularly towards the end there, they had two free kicks deep at the end of the game. Neither of them hit the target. They were both blazed over. We're giving teams chances, especially set pieces. We've already mentioned a few times how many goals were conceded to corners and free kicks, etc. And if we continue to give away free kicks, needless free kicks in and around the area, on a different day, Dunfermline might have taken those.
Yeah, set pieces will come back to bite us. It's been a bugbear of ours for a while now. I'm not sure whether it's one of them things that you maybe practice at the end of a session, or whether it's now in the modern game that it's maybe not fancied as much. It used to be a thing before that, if they're training or with part of your training session, you would take set pieces and free kicks and, how to set up and defend against it. But not sure if that's a thing still these days. But, it will catch up with us. We've seen it already a few times, conceding free corners. There was a period where every goal went in was from a set piece. It was probably something we need to be a wee bit smarter to.
So we'll get some of your thoughts on the game, so get your comments in. We'll quickly go through some of these. Gordon Park said, much better second half, although we never really troubled them, which, kind of going with what we were saying, we never really got anywhere near them, really.
No. Like I said, we were too passive in the game. I wouldn't say we showed them too much respect, but we sort of allowed them to dictate that they were going to D. And yeah, it was one of them games. I think we could have been there all night and they really put an effort on target for them.
Graham McLean failed to use the win to our advantage first half. Should have been firing from range to test the keeper. We need to get goals to get the confidence up and start passing it through and then start passing it through the box. Which,
yeah,
it's what we've been saying. That it's, you're disappointed that we haven't really been firing in the shots from range. However, that might come down to the fact that there is no confidence within the side.
It's a vicious cycle of you need the goals to get the confidence, but you need the confidence to take the shot on goal. I think when you've got the wind, it's different if you take a shot and you try and get it on target and it blazes over. You've got the factor of the wind, but it's getting into them areas and we didn't do that enough.
Yeah, and as it was pointed out to you on Saturday, when you're dealing with the wind, it's a bit like playing golf and how you sort of change your approach.
That's right, yeah.
What did I say anymore about that? Alexander Main, utter rubbish, complete lack of goal threat. Feel sorry for Jack Brown as he runs his heart out with no support. No chance that Rusty, if ever he returns, will make a difference. Welcome to League Two. And he also says it could have been six. Yeah. I think if Dunfermline really wanted to, they probably could have really turned the screw a little bit. But it does look as though Rusty's getting ever closer. He was obviously warming up last week. He was doing the same again this week. And I think we've mentioned this before, but I think that realistically, if he does come back, I think the pressure on him straight away, people will just always expect him to be banging in the goals. But unless he gets that support, it's not going to happen.
No, we've said it for a while now. Rusty and Andy coming back are very good players, but the two of them win a change the fortunes for us completely. I think we're a better team with Russell on the team and on the pitch and playing. But like I said before, he's got a hell pre-season almost today. He's missed a hell pre-season campaign. So, he is, once he does come back, he is going to be probably 3-4 weeks away from playing 90 minutes. And even then, that's still up for debate. but I didn't think he would be too far away for getting back into the match squad. I think Saturday will probably be too quick for him, but probably the week after you'd be thinking he might make an appearance on the bench.
David Stormuth said, sleeping at the first goal, touch of class from their young winger for the second. Decent display from us against the full-time team. Yeah, it probably was a decent one, but I don't know how much of that was because of Dunfermline allowing, you know, maybe just being now a third gear, if you like.
Oh, just in my opinion, I'll change that comment slightly. I think it was a decent result. I'm not sure about a decent display. Slightly different. I think, you know, if you're looking at the score and going, oh, it's only been 2-0 to Dunfermline, you would think it would have put up a good display. But, you know, as we've discussed, we've stood off them a wee bit too much, allowed them to play. But I think it's a decent result, maybe not quite a good display.
Well, I think if you look at the possession, it was 65-35 to Dunfermline. And as the home side, you'd be really disappointed with that.
And the way the weather was, you know, we've mentioned it over the years that teams on a light coming up Balmoor and a cold wind, the wet Tuesday night. So, I mean, the conditions were pretty similar to that on Saturday. And yeah, we never really got going.
Luton fans, they've said nothing going forward again. Really need Rusty. Don't see any goals coming from anywhere else. But Carrion and McCarthy again played great. Just no help at all. Yeah, that's the other issue, is that there's not enough goals coming from elsewhere. You know, Conor O'Keefe, he's sitting on 3 goals. He got 2 in 1 game. Jason Brown's on 2. And there's just nothing else coming for anywhere that you would say, well, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and that adds something. The new manager, if he does come in, he's either going to have to try and get more out of the attacking players that we've got, or he's going to have to try and go into the market and get somebody. Now, it's difficult getting that striker at the best of times, but trying to do it in January to a team that's struggling in League One, I think is going to be very, very difficult to do. But there needs to be a change. I don't think we're brilliant at the back or in midfield, but I certainly think we've got to give ourselves a better option by having a better attacking outlet.
Will Roberts says, we weren't awful, but there was a gulf between the two teams. The first goal, the guy gets too much space. We need a physical striker to help Jack up front because we are seriously lightweight. I realise that I say the same things every week about our lack of striker. I also thought we lost our shape, particularly in the first half, but we failed to stretch the play and use the space. And I wouldn't worry about it, well, because we seem to be saying the same things week in, week out as well.
Literally, just the way to say, try being a podcast on it every Monday night and you'll see how difficult it is. Your notes is pretty much the same, but you try and change the words. But it's getting difficult, and you know, you do need that physical striker up top. Well, I think Rusty coming back will be a help, but you know, like I said, I don't think it's going to change the outlook completely.
No, I think we've got it to, because he's been out for so long as well, I think we've got to be patient and then just expect him to be firing on all cylinders as well.
I can't wait for him to come back and then play 2 games and they score and Abdi say, oh, that's it.
We need need a striker.
We waited all this time for Rusty to come back and he's just scored 2 goals. But yeah, I think, you know, it's Russell's now got to come back and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And if people are thinking that we're just Rusty away from being a team that can propel up the table, we're really nay. It's a struggling team. You know, and normally when you get into this sort of form, it's really, really difficult to get out of. But this is when your new manager coming in, he's got to install that confidence and belief, regardless of how difficult, you know, it looks on paper with the table. He's got to try and do something. And I'm sure if ever manager coming in, they'll be coming in because they feel that they can keep Peter Head up. And, you know, I think that's a big thing as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of the guys that are applying for a job will have confidence that they can turn it around. And that's the key thing. It's about putting the confidence back into the players again.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, I think, from Roger's point of view as well, because there's a new manager coming in. He's going to have his own ideas, which could be, you know, quite different to what Jim had. So he may decide that he wants a little bit of budget for January coming up. You know, would that then affect Roger's thinking with the new manager? You know, if manager A comes in and says, yeah, I could take the job, but I want this as my transfer budget, and then manager B comes in and says, well, I only want that. You know, these things play a huge part. So Be an interesting week, I think, for Roger and whoever he decides to go with.
Oh, it's definitely going to be an interesting week. And as we said, I think once the new manager gets named, I think that's where we can start to then look see where things could maybe change and be different, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few names that we've heard over the last couple of days who might be interested, who's applied, who people want. So, yeah, like I said, I think it'll be an interesting week, but I generally think that whether it's announced officially, I do think there'll be a new man in charge come Saturday.
Okay, again, last week, one of the things we were going to cover, we asked you about was loanees, loan players. Who was your favourite? Who was your worst? So we'll get onto that because we did run out of time last week. We didn't get a chance to speak about that. Loan players, loanees, are you a fan of using the loan market? Is it something you would prefer the teams didn't use too often?
I'm not against it. I certainly think it gives, you know, we've spoken about before with loan players coming in. It's almost like a win-win-win. The club get a good player and do well. The player themselves gets a good return for it. But also the parent club, you know, they can see either a player moving on for profit or, you know, you just have to look over the last couple of seasons. We've had Kieran Freeman, really, really good player, come through the ranks at Dundee United. We got him on loan. He's involved in Scotland, set up with the under-21s a couple of months back and doing really well. You know, he's kicking around the first team still at Dundee United. Josh Mulligan, you know, he came on loan, was recalled, and, you know, he's gone on to do good things with Dundee. So I certainly think there's a case to say that it can help improve you. The only thing is you're improving a player that you're not getting to keep, and that would be the downside. So whilst I think it's good at certain times, I don't think having 5, 6, 7 players on loan is probably the right way to go about it, but I can see how it can be a stopgap used to benefit clubs.
I think as well, from the club that's doing the loaning of a player, it's almost as though they're doing a rehearsal, if you like, or they're making themselves available in terms of what they can provide for a player and for maybe what might happen down the line. And I use Callum McDonald as an example. He was on loan for Dundee for a season, and then once he had left Dundee, the option was then for him to come to Peterhead. He'd already been there a year. He knew what it was like to be at Peterhead, and then obviously then joined and then had a great career with the club. So there is that kind of option for a loan club to then say, well, if you come to us, this is what we can provide. And then if a couple of years down the line, if you're out of full-time football or whatever, you've been here before, we can provide you with something.
Yeah, it can work both ways. And, you know, the player will be happy that he's coming to a team that necessarily starting over again, but he knows, he's familiar with the club, he's familiar with the setup of everything. So again, that can work in your favour as well. And it's one of them, if you've had a loan player, you've gone on well with him, he's done well for you, if he is offered, say, a wage at one club and you're offering maybe 20% less, that's not to rule you out of it, because he's played for you before, he knows what the club's like, he knows what the city's like, the town, whatever. That could be a factor in him coming back, because he's got that pull. So yeah, it's loans are a weird thing. Some people are dead against it, some people are very much for it. I'm sort of sitting on the fence. I can see both sides to it, but I think you would be better, and again, this opens a different can of worms. I think you're better with your talent from your local area that can push you forward.
So some of the comments that came in, former Peterhead player Alfie Youngson, he said Kevin Nicol must be close to being one of the best. Keith Leslie, kind of echoing what you said, he's mentioned Keenan Freeman, Josh Mulligan, Ryan Jack, Jack Newman started this season as well. And of course we forget Hamish Ritchie as well. He was initially on loan for Inverurie Rocos as well. The three Stevens on Twitter, hard look past Ryan Duncan. That second half of last season team was really superb, and I think we could echo that.
Yeah.
Graham McLean, best loan was Cammy Kerr or Josh Mulligan. Wouldn't say who was the worst, but the least impact was possibly Kieran McGrath. I think that's probably a good shout. Because
hard to argue.
Hard to argue again, with that one.
It just shows you Ryan Duncan, Jack Newman, Kieran Freeman, Josh Mulligan. These are players that have come to Peterhead. They've had a good half season or a season, and they've gone on to do well. The only thing is a club, you get the season out of them and you'll get the rewards in terms of you'll get points on the board for them playing well because they've had good performances, you win matches. But it'll be the parent club that, you know, really scoop the most reward of it because you've now got players that are on their first team that can then sell on for profit or and whatnot. That's just the way the loan market works. But we've had a good few players over the last couple of seasons, you know, and that's the point where it can work.
Barry Watson says Carmi Kerr was a great player, still doing really well for Dundee. Ronnie Garvick, worst one on loan we had was Sean McSkimming, coming on as a sub against Dumbarton and getting sent off within 15 minutes when the league title was there to be won. Yet the following season, he was one of the best players when he signed for the whole season. And he says as well, Carmi Kerr was one of the best loans we've had by miles. Neil Thompson, think Rory McAllister had joined initially on loan from Cali originally. I think that was about a 1 month loan he had in January. Yeah. I think he played four games and scored one goal. Carmi Kerr had two spells in recent years. I've thought Kieran Freeman from Dundee United and Josh Mulligan from Dundee. In general, I'd prefer to have our own players, but loans can work, which is, I think, exactly what the point you were trying to make.
Yeah, loans can work. I'd prefer to have our own players, but at times, if you've got a gap in your squad, you maybe need it filled for 6 months while to reassess your options. A lone player could be the perfect route to go down, but I do, you know, much prefer having your home local grown talent coming through the ranks.
And I think if you've got a starting 11 and five of that starting 11 are made up of lone players, whether they're there for 6 months or a year, that's then a gap that you're going to have to try and fill again next season.
Yeah.
It becomes like a revolving door of players coming in and out and out and out, and it's always that kind of thing. Well, okay, he's got to be going, then I need to fill that gap, or fill the gap this year with this loan, and then I'm doing the same again year in and year out.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Obviously, at this level, you know, contracts are 2-3 years aren't really notoriously dished out, but for you to try and build a squad and have a vision of where you're going, loan players, you know, having five, your starting 11 is far from ideal. You know, every season, like you said, you're almost building a new squad and you're trying to start off from scratch again. So I think at times it can work, but when you've got too much within the squad, you're giving yourself the same headache the following season because then you just continually have that, you know, loan spells.
Okay, so this Saturday we have Scottish Cup tie, new manager or not, it'll be Queen's Park who will be the visitors to Balmoor, as I said, Scottish Cup tie. So just a wee break from the rigours of the league and maybe just that kind of taking the pressure off us slightly. Interesting that the four games last season, it was two wins apiece. All the wins were at home. I don't know if that's maybe going to continue.
that's clutching at straws.
But that's an interesting kind of way to look at it and say, well, all the games last season were all won by the home side.
Yeah, maybe clutching at straws slightly, but you know, you take every positive you can, and you know, regardless of who's going to be in the dugout on Saturday, that is your motivation of the last four games last season. You know, it was all won by the home team. You said it's. You know, the pressures of the league, this can work in your favour if you can get a win in this game. The confidence that the players will get from a win as well, being a team in the higher division, then it can just start a possible upward trend if, you know, when you do get a new manager announced or if he is before the game. I certainly think it's one of them games where you want to go into it with a lot of fear. I think it's a team higher up, but I just think that this is a game where the atmosphere will be different, you know, because we can obviously Davies and Gavin Biden. I generally think there'll be a new manager in place come Saturday, so I just think that'll give it an edge as well. I'm hoping that we can get through it the next round.
Yeah, they sort of just scraped through the playoffs last season and got that second promotion spot, having finished in in fourth, I think, last season in League One. They're now sitting fourth in the Championship, but only 2 points behind Ayr and that, which is a really, really tight league. I think there's maybe only 5 or 6 points separating like the top eight or something like that. So it's a really, really competitive league, but it does show that they are coping well with that step up.
Yeah, I think they took in Owen Coyle as their manager, and I don't think they were ever really got a struggle when he came in. I think he's done a few bits and pieces, but I think he's a decent coach. You know, and he'll try and get the best out of his players. You know, obviously we've got Grant Savory. It's there just now. He's played at PRE before. I'm sure he'll be telling the Queen's players, you know, what like Balmour is to play at if he hasn't been before. So yeah, I think it'll be a decent game actually. Like you said, I think there's got to be the worry of the league when we go into it. It's a one-off game; anything can happen. I'm actually looking forward to it because, as you said, we didn't have the pressure of the league to worry about.
Yeah, and it's another game where we will be massive underdogs for it. I mean, they're coming into this with one loss in their last five, having beaten Inverness and Raith Rovers back to back in the last 2 weeks, and I think they thumped Raith Rovers 5-2 at the weekend as well. So I mean, they're going to be full of confidence. But as we said, you just never can if it's going to happen with a cup tie. And it'd be interesting to see how they kind of play it as well. I mean, I would assume that they're going to try and play their strongest teams as they can. Maybe one eye on the league, but you know, there could be an opportunity for us here to really showcase what we can do, particularly, as you said, if there is potentially a new manager being named by the end of the week or certainly named and then got to be taken over on Monday. These guys are all got to be, these guys will be wanting to show what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there about obviously us not getting the pressure of the league, but you flip it for Queen's side of things. They're very much in the hunt for winning the title, you know, and gaining promotion. So are they going to have one eye on that, thinking, well, could we rest players away to Peterhead, struggling in League One, their manager, they might take their foot off the gas and they worry about it too much. So that might be our leveller, so to speak. But yeah, I think players, if there is, you know, there'll be a new manager at some point. So, you know, your players will maybe want to get themselves in a short window, let the manager see what they can do. Obviously, they're only training twice a week sometimes, so there's limited opportunities to show the manager what he can do. And again, Saturday might be a prime example of, you know, putting themselves in the window and performing.
Yeah, Simon Murray, obviously their captain and the main man for the goals, 11 in all competitions so far in 20 games. We'll need to keep him pretty quiet, but there are goals within that team as well. So we just have to kind of, if we keep him quiet, we need to be keeping somebody else quiet. And that's kind of where they're at. They've got a deep enough squad that they can rotate these kind of players. If it is Dave Yates in the dugout again on Saturday, would you expect much changes again? Or would you expect to do what he did this past week and have virtually the same starting lineup again?
I think he would go with the same lineup, to be honest. I don't think he will make too many changes. He'll try and keep it, you know, if he's still there, I think he'll try and keep it as solid as he can. I don't see any tactical changes. I don't see any personnel changes. You know, and I think he'll just go out there and, you know, let the players, they have the freedom, but, you know, they'll kin the instructions for the previous week. Wouldn't have been that many changes, but yeah, I can't see Davey changing it too much if he's still there, to be honest.
And if it ends up being that we lose the game and lose it quite heavily, I think that would, in a weird way, I wouldn't be too fussy about that because it's not a league game, it is a cup game. The cup, to me, would just be a distraction from trying to get away from the relegation battle.
Yeah, it's also one of them, you've got to think, even if you do get a beating, the new managers had no time to work with the players. You know, this is no, you know, even if they're training on Thursday, it would be one session. Very little you can do in one session to get through to the players. So it's one of them. If you win the game, fantastic. You're not going to get too wound up about it. It's the same if you get beat. It's one of them games. You're now just waiting for a manager to come in, get a couple of training sessions under his belt, you know, and then see how far we're going after that.
So normally at this stage we have an opposition fan on to give their views on the upcoming game. Delighted to say instead of a fan, we have instead a Queen's Park player. Someone who's be very familiar to most of you listening to this. It is Grant Savory. Yes, so we are pleased to have on with us former Peterhead player now with Queen's Park is Grant Savory. Grant, welcome onto the Blue Team podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good.
It's just the second time we've tried to get you on. We tried to get on in the summer, but kind of disappeared pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, I was wanting to get on as well. It was just the timing of it, it wasn't ideal.
Yeah, you'd rather move to another club than come on, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
we're left on red where we're calling. We get seen and we're just ignored.
Yeah, no, I was wanting to get on for a while, but no, it wasn't. I couldn't really get on at the time. Yeah. Wasn't great.
It's understandable. These things happen. But how are things with you anyway? A long time since we've spoken. How are things? How's life in the championship?
No, it's good. It's been good so far. Team started well. Enjoying playing and stuff. But it's a hard league. It's really tight. It's only a couple points between a good few teams in the league. But no, I'm enjoying it. But yeah, it is difficult. But getting used to it.
Watched you a couple of weeks ago up at Cove. On a Friday night, I see the gloves are back out again.
Oh, yeah. I know. Any time when it hits winter, my gloves are straight out.
I thought you'd been used to the sort of northeast climate.
I know. But I think I had my gloves on for a lot of the games up there as it was, so... Yeah.
So we've got you on to talk about the upcoming Scottish Cup tie. When the draw was made, what was your kind of initial reaction? Did you see it as a good draw for you?
No, yeah, it was. I think my initial reaction was I was obviously happy to kind of. I seen obviously it was an away game and stuff, and it was going to be nice for me on a personal note to kind of get back up there and see everyone. So no, I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest, in that aspect. But yeah, it's a good draw, it'll be a good game, so yeah, looking forward to it.
Is it one of those kind of games that, based on form, you guys will obviously be heavy favourites, but will you be taking it not lightly? Obviously, you want to try and get through, but it could be a tricky one for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you've got to kind of respect every opponent that you play. I think you've kind of go into every game with that mentality, and I think that at the end of the day, on any team's day, anyone can beat anyone, so I think it's. I don't think we'll go into it lightly at all. Now,
are you looking forward to coming back up and seeing some of the old faces again?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, that would be definitely nice. Seeing the boys as well, so no, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Are you still in touch with a lot of them as well? I know your time was sort of brief, but do you sort of you're one of those kind of players that likes to keep in touch with players you've played with?
Yeah, no, I'd say so. Obviously not all the time, but yeah, the odd text here and there with some of the old players that I used to play with, I definitely still do. So, yeah, no, definitely keep in contact with a couple of them.
And how have you adapted to playing full-time again?
I think obviously that was my aim and stuff, and it was maybe a bit difficult at first coming from part-time back to full-time, but I think now I've adjusted quite well. I'm kind of into the routine of things and just enjoying it. I think it's obviously good for different aspects of my game, getting a lot of touches of the ball, fitness-wise, etc. So, no, I think it's been good for me.
And how good has it been to learn from somebody like Owen Coyle with his experience?
No, it's been really good. Obviously, managed at the top level in the Premier League. So, just obviously every day trying to take in new things and listen to everything he's got to say and try and kind of implement it into my game. So, no, it's been great.
And apart from yourself, obviously, who's the kind of players that we should be looking out for? Who's the ones that it could cause us most damage?
I don't know. It's actually a hard question. I think we've got... I don't obviously want to sound like I'm bigging up everybody, but at the same time, I think we've got danger in different areas of the pitch. I think even Tommy Robson's got a good few goals. Centre-backs are starting to kind of get headers in. So I wouldn't even just say the forward players. I'd say the team's doing quite well at the moment, but needing to kind of pick up another kind of good bit of form like we had maybe 3-4 weeks ago. So, yeah.
Defensively quite solid as well, yeah?
Yeah, I think we've conceded... We have conceded goals that we probably shouldn't be conceding. Obviously, you never want to concede goals, but quite slack, maybe individual areas, and then obviously as a team need to defend better. So I think we can always get better at that, but I think we're starting to work on it, and definitely it's working more and more as we get through the season.
As we've got you on, we've obviously got to talk about your time at Peterhead. It might have been brief, but I think it was a good spell for yourself. How would you sort of sum up your time there at Peterhead?
To be honest, I loved it. I think it was obviously I had quite a hard time before that in terms of not really having a team the season before and being out of football. So coming in, I think I came in October time. I think I was injured pre-season, and then Jim wanted me up to train, and I came in and trained and obviously done well enough to get signed. But no, I loved it. I think it was really good for me. It was good to kind of play men's football week in, week out, and experience that again from it has been really helpful, to be honest.
Did you find yourself getting better as the weeks progressed, or your confidence built up week after week? Because from what we were watching, we could certainly see you improving week on week.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, 100%. I think week on week I was starting to kind of get more used to the kind of tempo of the game and the physical side and different things like that. And even like in terms of like goal scoring at the start, I was kind of wanting to get my first and then build on that. And then my all round game kind of started slowly getting better and better as each week went on.
Who would you have said was your best position? Because we've seen you in the wing, but we've also seen you being really good in the centre of midfield as well. What do you think is your best position?
It's a funny question, that, because I feel like I still don't know exactly what my best position is. But I don't know, because sometimes I felt like being in the central position was good because I kind of got on the ball a lot. And I sometimes find that if I'm not getting on the ball all the time, that I maybe came out the game a little bit. So I kind of like the central kind of getting on the ball all the time. But then at the same time, when you're playing wing, you can play on the wing, you can play a bit higher and kind of get into maybe more goal scoring or assisting positions. So I'm still not 100% sure. I'd still say I'm quite even in my head in terms of where I want to play, but I should probably try and figure it out soon. But I guess it's not the worst thing to play a couple positions. So
I think the sort of modern day footballer tends to sort of play two or three different positions anyway, don't they?
Yeah, no, that's true. I'd like to think that's maybe something that will help me, keep me in good stead. So.
And what about the players that you were playing with last season, like Hamish Ritchie, Naya Payne? How did you get on with these kind of guys? And did you feel as though maybe like Scott Brown, Simon Ferry, these kind of guys as well, were bringing you on as well, maybe making you a better player?
No, definitely. I think I took a lot from a lot of the players. I think even when I first came in, the tempo of the training was really high, and it took me a good couple months to kind of adjust to that. And then like certain players have like different things, like Naya with his shooting is really good at shooting, and then obviously Hamish dribbling and different things like that. I definitely took from, I felt like it helped me kind of get better at those parts of my game. And then even with like Scott Brown and Si Ferry, they always kept a really good standard to training and stuff like that, and I felt like that was a big help throughout the season, to be honest.
Obviously, we went through that really bad run just before Christmas until about sort of February, March time, where we just couldn't buy a win, couldn't get a goal. What was the sort of confidence like within the team and for yourself while you're going through that run?
Yeah, it was definitely a hard time. I think it's important to stay together, stick together as a group. I think you don't really want to kind of turn on each other, and that's where it can kind of continue on, whereas you've got to just look at it for what it is and try and better yourself each week. And I think we started to do that, and it kind of really showed towards the end of the season. And the boys were good, and they always continued to work hard, and there wasn't really any kind of, I don't know, there wasn't really any arguments in the team. Obviously, boys maybe shout at each other to get a bit like more out of each other, but apart from that, it was a good squad for that. And you just kind of got to roll with it to a certain extent and look to try and obviously better at each week.
And that last six games, unbeaten, four wins, two draws, I mean, that was just a phenomenal way to end the season as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we deserved it. I think we definitely put in the work for it, and it showed, and we worked on a lot of things, different things even small, like counter-pressing and making forward runs and different things like that, which all kind of definitely came into fruition in the last part of the season, and it showed with the points that we collected.
Obviously, that was the end of the season. We're obviously anticipating you coming back for next season, but obviously that didn't happen. You ended up moving to Queen's Park. At what point were you aware that there was a possibility that there was a move on to another club?
Problem when we asked them to come on the podcast.
I think it was actually roughly around that time, probably enough. it was. I think I was starting to do a bit better towards the end of the season, and through my agent there was kind of a little bit of interest from a couple of teams, but nothing really until the end of the season. And then when the season was finished, a couple of teams were kind of contacting my agent saying that they'd like to speak to me or whatever. And yeah, it was kind of around that time that I started to realise maybe I'd have an opportunity at getting back full time and different things like that.
There was always the understanding that we've got is that there was an understanding between yourself and Peterhead that if another full-time club came in, that would be okay for you to move on. Was that the case?
Yeah, no, that was the case, and it was good for me because obviously I wanted to get back full-time, but at the same time, there wasn't really a part-time team that I would go to anyway, so it suited me kind of perfectly, because at the end of the day, if I was to go to another part-time team, I'd be better off definitely staying up here ahead, and the experience that I got helped me even at Queen's Park, so I would have been happy to stay for the following season if a full-time team wasn't looking at me type thing, so yeah.
And what was it about Queen's Park that made you go there?
I think obviously testing myself in the Championship was a big thing, getting back full-time, and yeah, I think they were the two main things. I kind of wanted to, if possible, go up a league and test myself, and then ideally I'll hopefully keep going up the way. That's my aim at the end of the day. It's kind of pointless playing if I'm not trying to continually going up. So, yeah, I think that was the main reason, just kind of testing myself at a higher level.
Just finally then, just onto the back of the cup tie on Saturday, what kind of game are you anticipating? Obviously, you know the pitch well. Are you expecting it to be a tough game?
Definitely I'm expecting it to be a tough game. I think that it'll be a good game, and I'm looking forward to getting back up to Balmoir, definitely. And I've always liked the pitch up there as well. I've always thought the pitch is brilliant, so I think it will be good to get down and try and pass it and different things like that. So, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
And does that suit your game, a Queen's Park's game, the pitch, if it's slick?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that we try and play football, and we try and get the ball down if possible and link and different things like that. So I think hopefully it will suit Queen's Park.
But not too much, hopefully.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I think the pitch will be, there'll be some pitch folks going in it before now that I've said that.
Right, Grant, thanks very much for coming on. I do appreciate your time. We'll wish you well for the remainder of the season. Not too much luck in the cup tie, of course, but it'll be good to see you playing there again. It was good to have you on here as well.
No, definitely, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks for having me. Thank you.
So that is it for this week's episode. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you to Grant Savory for joining us, and as always, my thanks goes to Martin Smith for being here. It leaves me to say a big thank you to you guys for listening. Keep your comments and your messages coming in. We really do appreciate them. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.